Hi everyone, welcome back to the School of Being Unhappy podcast, the place to build winning habits and achieve your goals without sacrificing life. I'm Zuzana Mukumai, a coach who walks the same path as you, becoming productive with strong winning habits that achieve goals and fulfillment in entrepreneurship, fitness, and life. Is your business exciting and you can't wait to get it out there? Are you so fired up to deliver the amazing services you want to offer or the goods you believe in? But are you feeling stuck in your business right now? Perhaps showing up online, marketing yourself? If you said yes, this episode is for you. In this real coaching conversation, my coaching client explored exactly this. Her current biggest holdup, showing up online with confidence as her authentic self, doing what she loves doing, excited, yet she feels stuck. In the session, we discover that what haunts her back are some of the beliefs she has. If you're curious how to unpack fears and what may keep you stuck, not only in business, but also life, or if you're curious how a coaching conversation might look like, pop in those headphones and let's get to it. Good morning. I'm so excited to have you. And I would so want to call you by name, but I'm not doing it because we agreed that this coaching will be anonymous. So before we jump in, I wanted to ask if it's okay for you to record this coaching, the audio only for my podcast, Screw Being Unhappy.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I'm excited to do that. And I know as we were chatting before recording that you wanted to focus on your business, getting out there, social media. So how can I support you today?
Yeah, so I am a therapist. I work mostly with couples and I've had my private practice for over 13 years. And recently I've decided to make the switch into coaching. So coaching is a lot less restrictions and I'm able to do more of my passion of what I really want, which is preventative care for your relationship. And it also allows me to step away from insurance. And so I feel so aligned with it. I feel so passionate. It's some of the work that I've done for years and it just feels so right. But my biggest hold up is selling myself, getting myself out there, showing up on social media. I have a lot of things to say and I have a lot of, I'm an open book. So once you get me on camera, I can talk about whatever, but I overthink things. I worry about what others might think, which is so silly. So that's, yeah, I know. That's my biggest holdup, you know?
Okay. And it's a huge topic and I can so relate. And I think lots of entrepreneurs and coaches can relate to this. We have 30 minutes together. Mm-hmm. What would you like to leave with so this 30 minutes was really useful?
Oh, gosh. Maybe like a swift kick in the pants. I don't know. Yeah, I think maybe just some more confidence. And I don't know if that is realistic, but maybe just being able to let go of some of those barriers that I know we all have. And even if it feels fake, you know, but just to kind of get push through that.
Mm-hmm. And what difference it would make to you if you let go of those barriers, you are more confident?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it would allow me to just be authentic and mm-hmm. and not have to overthink things. I think there are some barriers with me being a therapist. There's a lot of, you know, don't show up as your authentic self. You have to be professional. You mm-hmm. have to. So I'm really battling a lot of that mindset when I've moved into the coaching world where it's like, no, I can actually show up as myself, as more of like almost a friend. So I think that that's where I get kind of hung up.
Mm-hmm.
And is this the, because you mentioned a couple of things, right? And now you mentioned this kind of difference between how you would show up as a therapist and how would you show up as a coach. Is that something you would want to zoom in during the conversation or what's coming?
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, I think ultimately that's probably where the crux of the biggest issue is because I'm changing roles pretty drastically. And so, there's a lot of, there's the board of ethics. There's like all of these restrictions that you have to have as a therapist, and there's nothing for coaching, So it's kind of, me being very restrictive and professional and then moving into a space where it's like, no, you can just be yourself and be authentic and show your knowledge and share your own personal experiences with things that others could relate to. And so that is pretty wild.
What made it important for you to go through this shift? From therapist to a coach.
Yeah, well, I think honestly, I've been a little burnt out of the therapy world because so many couples, because I see mostly couples, a lot of these couples are in really tough places. And so it's almost like playing catch up and doing a lot of repair and rebuilding their relationship. And most of my passion right now, especially, is working with new or expectant parents of how to maintain their relationship before they become parents, because it's a huge shift that happens. And so it's like, gosh, I want to go to the preventative care. Like we get annual physicals every year. We take care of our bodies. We take our supplements. We do the things to keep ourselves healthy. This is where I want to put my efforts and my focus of preventative care for your relationship, which is not something that is covered by insurance or seen as like therapy per se. So that's what made me shift. When I have similar sessions like that with couples, I feel energized. So that tells me like this is where I'm more aligned.
What are the differences when you feel energized, you are in the role of coach, versus doing therapy?
What is the, sorry, ask that first part again.
Now I probably forgot my own question, but what makes the difference for you?
Okay.
In feeling energized, feeling, excited.
Yeah. I think for me it's almost like the teaching aspect. So the psychotherapeutic tools, like psychoeducation, where it's like, ooh, this is a tool. This is my favorite tool. I love it so much. Here, use it. We go over it. We practice it. And they have this moment of like, oh, yeah, And so that gives me energy. And whereas with therapy, if we're working on just past hurts and really deeply rooted triggers, it's draining, So all of my energy at the end of the day, I am just a bump on a log. And it's hard for me to also be a partner and to be a mother and have all of these other roles that I play. Whereas if I leave a session feeling energized and like, yes, I'm actually doing something that is helpful, then that energy carries with me the rest of the day. So it feels very polar opposites. And so that's where I want to, move my focus.
And I have an idea, and if you are willing, let's try. I mean, it's kind of a weird question, but let's try if that's helpful.
Okay.
Imagine you have your day. Today it's Wednesday, I believe. We have this conversation. You go to do what you plan to do. You have your normal day. Then you go and sleep. And overnight, a miracle happens, from the universe, from the God, from wherever. And
Yeah.
in the morning, you wake up. You don't know that any miracle was going on, but this barrier of trying to be in a therapist role is gone, and you are fully coach, like fully into coaching couples the way you want it? What would you notice?
The miracle question. I love this question. I think my first thought would be, who do I get to chat with today? Instead of, oh, who's on my calendar today? I also will know because I'll have more time to do things around the house or go on a little walk or a hike or have much more balance of time. Like I'll see that on my calendar. So I'll be excited for the day. That will probably be the first sign.
What would you notice in the sessions with your clients?
I think similar. Like they will be there because they're excited to be there, not because they have to be there. So the excitement will be mutual and it'll feel much more collaborative.
What else would you notice? Other people, anything in your regular life?
Maybe folks reaching out, being seen as maybe not an expert, but somebody, you know, trusted in the field. Other opportunities, like more community-based opportunities, perhaps. Maybe some speaking engagements will be invitations for. I don't know. Yeah.
And if you think of this, the differences in what you would do, what other people, how your clients would show up, what people from your community would be doing, reaching out to you. Can you think of a moment when you actually experienced this already in the real life?
Yeah. A few years ago, I was asked to speak at, it was like a MOPS group, which is, I can't remember the acronym of what it stands for, but it's essentially like a mom's group. And I've never been asked to speak at anything. And it was just like really, really exciting. And I got to stand up and talk to, I don't know, maybe 40, 50 women. And it was just nice to do something out of the home because I work from home too. So it was nice to be out and in the community and answer questions and be engaged in that way. So that felt really good. And I think recently, just a few sessions that I've had, even though they're therapy sessions, they're more in the psychoeducational, tool-based coaching type world. And just leaving that session is just like, yes, I feel like we're making a difference here. Like there is some momentum.
And when you think of these two situated, the couple of sessions, the time when they reach out for you to speak, does anything come to your mind that you had or did or thought that is not there now and should be brought back?
I think maybe it comes more internal of feeling like, I do have some important things to say and share. I think there, I do have like an internal struggle where imposter syndrome is really present. Also, how other people, specifically family members, view me as maybe, they don't really know what I do because mostly I don't share because I don't care to share, because I think in my mind, they don't care, which is kind of true. So, yeah, there's like an internal feeling of like, okay, yes, I do have something to offer.
And we started this conversation about this difference between fitting into the therapy box versus fitting into the coaching box. Now, I find this interesting, and I might be wrong, and feel free to say it if it doesn't make any sense. Now you said that, oh, now I realize I have things to share, what my family would think. And with therapists, you're bound by confidence, and you are as a coach. I mean, if you're an ethical coach, which I believe you would do, but it's therapy, as you said, it's so much more regulated. So I wonder if this difference, therapy box, coach box, versus actually having the fear to go out there, if the fear of putting yourself out there is more important than this therapy coaching difference.
Yeah, I think so. Like the fear of putting myself out there as a coach is bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Like the biggest holdup.
Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I was asking, if that's making sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is, just because I've had to be very reserved and quote unquote professional as a therapist. Mm-hmm. And even when I started social media as a therapist and I would talk about things, I would show up a little bit more authentically. And there would be this worry of like, oh, did I share too much? Or, you know, am I not professional enough? Or, and now in this realm, I can be, but I don't know. It's just this, yeah, it's just a holdup of showing up.
Would you care to finish that sentence? You said it's just this, and then you paused and you didn't finish. What were you going to say?
I think it's more of a people know me as a therapist. And so making the shift, there's a couple of things. Like, so making the shift online and showing up in an authentic way, I could be seen as even more unprofessional. But also, as a therapist, there's an idea that, oh, life coaches aren't, they're kind of like a scam, right? Mm-hmm. So we have, there's a little bit of beef there. And so I'm battling that. And I've been battling that as well, of like, I'm a therapist. I went to school. I paid lots of money. I'm still owing tons and tons of money. You know, I have the education. I get the CEU credits, blah, 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 blah. Life coaches can just say they're a life coach and like, nah, nah, nah. So there's this idea that sometimes therapists see life coaches as
mm-hmm.
just, I don't know, like a fraud or a scam. So there's definitely that piece of, well, now here I am going into mm-hmm. the life coaching world. Even though I have all of this experience and knowledge that I can, you know, bring into it, but there's still this idea of like, oh, you're a life coach? Like, okay,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. So
that's good limiting belief, I would say, for you, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah. What would need to happen for you to overcome? Because, of course, we know it's not true, right? They're scummy, shady coaches, but they're very good.
Oh, yeah.
And scammy, right?
And scammy therapists too. There's like really shitty therapists out there. So yeah, it's absolutely limiting belief.
So what needs to happen for you to overcome this belief?
Yeah. Well, I used to think it was like, well, maybe I just need to come up with a different word other than coach. Maybe it can't be coach because I don't feel aligned with that. But I think, I don't know if that actually solves the problem, because it still has that like air of my own, you know, shame and thoughts around it. So, gosh, I don't know exactly. I guess really diving into that limiting belief. And I know there's a couple of folks out there who have that I can reach out to, who used to be a therapist and is now into life coaching, and maybe like start developing a community and mentors. But I think, yeah, ultimately it needs to come from myself, because that's where that's where the issue is. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Would it be helpful now to look at the limiting belief a bit?
Sure. Yeah.
So what is the belief if you were to write it on the paper?
Let's see. Some thought, initial thoughts that I'm having. Life coaches just tell people what to do. Life coaches think that they have everything figured out. Life coaching is the easy route. Those are the initial thoughts. Life coaches are pompous, or what are some other thoughts that I'm having? Know-it-alls. I don't know. Like there's something there.
Okay. And it's so interesting, and I didn't know this was coming. It's so interesting we are having this conversation like during a life coaching session and for a podcast. So I'm really enjoying it actually. So a couple of, like, you mean life coaches just tell people what to do. Life coaches have it all figured out. Life coaches take the easier route. Life coaches are pompous. Would it make sense now to pick one and see what we can do? And then perhaps on the other ones, you do the work as homework.
Yeah.
Which one feels most kind of holding you back? The most nagging one?
I think maybe life coaches have everything figured out. Because there's a big piece of the imposter syndrome that is present for me there, where because I have this experience of being a therapist, I'm putting more pressure on myself to, well, if you're going to go this route, like, you need to know what the heck you're talking about. And you have to be right every single time. And you have to know the right answer every single time, which is a lot of pressure because that's not true. So, yeah, I think that's probably a big one.
And that made me think, and let me divert a bit from the coaching right now, just kind of insertion here, right? We have, as you said, coaching is unregulated industry. Anybody can wake up and become a coach for whatever, you know. I can be a coach of putting socks in the right way, and nobody will tell me anything. But then there is ICF coaching, the International Coaching Federation, which is kind of like the standard. And that one is about coach should not leave any trace. So it's not about giving advice. It's actually, as a, you know, ICF accredited coach or ICF committed coach, you shouldn't leave any trace. It's just having a conversation, helping person to think. And then the other coaching is more like mentoring or giving advice. So I'm just wondering, with your coaching business, if which direction you're going.
I mean, probably the, you know, obviously having a conversation, but really a big piece is the educational aspect of
okay.
it. So conflict resolution tools, how to find out what the conflict pattern is, how to dissect it, really creating concrete tools for couples. So a lot of education.
Okay.
So I guess that would be like mentoring. Probably.
Perhaps. I'm thinking. And that takes me, like you mentioned, that actually maybe calling yourself a life coach or coach might not be the right thing. So I'm wondering now, like, we can go back, work on the limiting belief, like life coaches just have it all figured out. Or we can divert and talk about, like, this, like, who you are becoming.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm a little frozen.
No, it's fine. And okay, this is a funny, another funny question. If you would know, what would your answer be?
If I would know the answer to that last question?
Yes.
I think I get hung up on, like, you know, saying the right thing. And I'm not sure. It's blank. My mind's blank right now. So I kind of sometimes when I'm feeling a little overwhelmed, that's where I go. And I don't have, oh, I'm totally being transparent with you right now. You're getting like authentic me here.
What if there is no right or wrong here?
I think there's still, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to say. I think so the question is like going back to the limiting belief or figuring out who I am.
Maybe they are connected.
Yeah, it could be.
What's
Yeah,
coming
so
to
I
your
guess
mind
maybe
now?
I think maybe just needing to like feel more grounded in who I am. You know, like a desire to like I would love to be able to, if somebody says, "Hey, what do you do?" and have a like grounded, solid answer. You know, instead of this, "Well, I'm a therapist and I did for 13 years and then I na-na-na-na-na," like it's boring. So I think it is like really kind of when I'm diving into who I am, it's like kind of blank a little bit.
And what if the who am I question would be less important than the question, how do you help?
I mean, ultimately, I want to help couples maintain their relationship. Like, that's a really big thing. You know, everything I'm seeing is like help improve your relationship. Like, no. I want to help maintain it. I want to help you keep it. And that's where that like preventative work keeps that word preventative keeps coming up for me. Because I can equate it to like physical health. You know, we do all the things to take care of ourselves. Like, why wouldn't we do the things to take care of our relationship and put that as a primary, you know, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Priority.
Priority, yeah. And so if your grounding would be in how you help instead of who am I, how would that look like?
So, you know, maintaining relationship, maybe even strengthening, but giving, e equipping couples to weather the storm or, you know, help them go through this really potential tough time in their relationship. Now, a lot of couples, they do premarital, pre-committal work. And so I want to do that with new parents of this is really hard. And I want you to succeed. And I want you to be come out of this feeling like you did it because you had the tools and you had the knowledge about it.
So when you say that, how does that feel?
It feels good. Yeah. I mean, it feels like I want to scream it, you know, because it's like, you guys, this is so important. I know, like, this is a really tough population because I was this way before we had kids. I was like, we're fine. We have a great relationship. We'll be fine. We don't need help. And so a lot of people are in that place. And it's like, okay, let's stay there. Yes, maybe it won't be completely terrible. Maybe you won't get a divorce, but let's keep it this way. So, yeah, I'm so passionate about it, and I want people to stay happy because you guys chose each other for a reason.
And now, like you're saying, I just want to go and scream it to everybody and do this. How did we? No, sorry, delete question. What is now the relationship between, like, I want to go and scream about how I help people versus feeling stuck in the therapy versus coach boxes, or then having the limiting beliefs that life coaches have it all figured out or they're scum?
Like what's holding me back from kind of, as you said, like scream, or as I said, screaming it
Like,
out,
how did
or
we kind of, we are here now excited, and now we talked about this barrier. So now talking about how you help, what does that mean now
I mean,
for your
the
people?
excitement has always been there. It's always like, yes, this is such a great thing, and I can't wait to like just fully dive into it and have this be my work, But it's translating that out to the open that I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to, like, I can talk about a tool here and there. I could talk about how important it is to maintain, keep your relationship. I can talk about how great this program is, but there's just not a lot of movement there. That's where it gets stuck, is translating that out into the world.
And I feel like this would have been probably a different topic, right? For another conversation. Or we won't probably manage to do it in the remaining minutes, but we started with this you feeling held back. So where are we now? Did we go in a good direction, or it was not helpful at all?
I mean, I still am feeling kind of, how do I get out there and show up? But I definitely I need to do some more, I guess, grounding or meditating or coming up with some practice verbiage of how to describe myself, and probably do some more work with that, and hopefully that'll help.
And during this conversation we were having, and we were a bit all over the place, I recognize that. What have you learned about yourself, your business, that you didn't know 30 minutes ago, if anything?
I think definitely some more details of limiting beliefs that are in the way, some thoughts about like old messages that I've received about life coaching and how that's potentially just kind of swirling around and maybe driving the bus a little bit more than what I would like.
What would that look like?
Oh, like a white man. I don't know, like a really just kind of chauvinistic sort of not doesn't care about anybody else, or I don't know.
It's funny that they are saying it. Just the other week, I was having a session with my client, and then we ended up chatting about something not coaching related, and she shared this, like, when I feel stuck, I imagine I am white man in his 50s and what he would do.
Oh, interesting.
So what now? We are towards the end of the conversation, and perhaps we open more doors than we kind of figured out. But what is your next step?
Well, my next step is to I love that actually, that metaphor of like what would a white man do? his 50s, he like wouldn't give a shit, right? You know,
Exactly.
part of my.
Yeah.
So maybe just kind of channeling it, my inner, like, I don't care how I show up. I'm just going to show up. Maybe channeling more of that energy. And even if it's like I said before, even if it feels fake or pretend, you know, people don't know if we're, if we pretend we're confident, not everyone knows that we're actually not confident. So nobody else knows that.
Yeah.
So maybe I can, you know, go in that place.
Okay. That sounds like two good steps.
Yeah.
Anything else comes to mind, or is this a good space, time to end the conversation here?
Yeah. No, this feels good. I think even if it does open up more doors, there are doors that need to be opened because, you know, I can't, like, I gotta expand myself to know all the things that are happening. So even if I walk away from this of like, oh boy, I got more work to do, then yeah, like I got more work to do. And that's good. That's a good thing. So I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here and for sharing this. Is it still okay? I shared the audio on my podcast, on the social media, if I decide to continue with the social media.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here. I will stop the recording now, and I really appreciate you.
I hope this was inspiring and that you feel less alone in feeling stuck, holed up, or frustrated. We all have beliefs that stop us from pursuing what we really care about, and it's time to deal with it. Check out the related blog post where I share the exact steps I use for myself and my clients to disarm the harmful beliefs we all have. If you're ready to take action and handle the beliefs that hold you back from taking that next business, fitness, or life decision, let's jump on a call and see if having a coach by your side is your next best step. Book your free consultation now. The link will be in the show notes. Thanks for tuning in to Screw Being Unhappy. Remember, the highs and the lows are part of this journey, and I am right here in your corner. You can build consistent habits, achieve your goals, and still have time for what matters most. Now, let's take action. One good tweak at a time. I'll talk to you soon.